The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what Jesus had done began to believe in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees convened the Sanhedrin and said, "What are we going to do? This man is performing many signs. If we leave him alone, all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing, nor do you consider that it is better for you that one man should die instead of the people, so that the whole nation may not perish." He did not say this on his own. But since he was high priest for that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for the nation, but also to gather into one the dispersed children of God. So from that day on, they planned to kill him. So Jesus no longer walked about in public among the Jews, but he left for the region near the desert, to a town called Ephraim, and there he remained with his disciples. Now the Passover of the Jews was near, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before Passover to purify themselves. They looked for Jesus and said to one another, as they were in the temple area, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
This is, of course, it's the perfect setup for Holy Week. This is it. This is the story is coming to a head. And we see finally what's lurking, at least to the extent that they could have put their own finger on it, what's lying behind the anxiety of Israel's ruling class. You know, the Romans in the background, and the Romans who were exerting their influence somewhat from afar, but who had, you know, armies encamped just a short way away, ready to be called in to crush any kind of rebellion that would come along, especially in the holy city, especially in Jerusalem, which was always seemingly ripe for uprising. In fact, within living memory, the Romans had been called in to crush a rebellion, and at least we think we can know pretty well, but. Thousands of young Jews were crucified at that time. The Roman armies killed so many of them. So, the fragility of their own situation is really something that weighed on the hearts and minds of the Pharisees. And we've seen certain things like this kind of real tight focus, real kind of tight grip look at. Pure and impure and the us versus them and the rest, and we can see at least some of what's driving it. It's not to make them more sympathetic characters, but it's about understanding them, because I think that we need, even if we don't think that they're making the right decisions and the rest, they need to be somewhat sympathetic characters to us. Or we just won't get much out of what's in front of us. So we have that in the background. And look, I mean, you know, it's really quite easy, I think, to make parallels to draw parallel to our own day, where, you know, the anxiety is just building up and building up and building up. And we see here, like the words of Caiaphas, for instance, when he says that one man should die instead of the people, you know, how amped up are we right now on things as simple as social distancing? And social distancing, by the way, right, is not a perfect science. There's no like, okay, well, there's no sense. I don't think we have any sense. We have a real sense that people can stay, every single person in the world can stay 6 feet away from every other person at every time. Because I know that as soon as we see someone who's not 6 feet away from someone else, then we're like ready to call the cops on them. I mean, this is anxiety, right? This is the growing anxiety that we're all experiencing. So we understand that the kind of pressures, and we know the threat is real for us. So let's draw that back into the story and say, Caiaphas knows that the threat is real for them. The Pharisees know that the threat is real for them. If Jesus is going to launch a kingdom of God movement that reclaims Jerusalem and the throne of David, there's a really good chance that Rome's going to call that army in again, and they're going to destroy everything. And in fact, they did that. They did that some 30 years after Jesus' death, when Jerusalem was totally ransacked, right? The temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So that power, that threat was always on the horizon. Okay, now let's give it just one quick other look, okay? What do we see? If we leave him alone, and all will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation. Okay, my first point of reflection application for us today. The Romans will come and take away both our land and our nation. My friends, that's all they cared about. And we can understand why they cared about it. The land is the land of promise that God had given them. Their vocation is God-given. Yes, the nation is God-given. But they were holding on to it as they knew it to be, and not as God himself wanted it to be. And God will always work against that injustice to himself. But it's not, I shouldn't say it like that because it sounds too punitive. God wants Israel. He wants his chosen people. He wants his nation, his new nation now with us, but he wants his chosen people to be his chosen people. He wants his chosen people to live out their vocation truly, to be a light to the nations, not just to have land and to be, a people of common heredity. He wants them to be a nation of faith, turned over to him and living for his purposes. And that's Jesus's thrust. That's his whole thrust. And so here, look, we'll lose everything. That's their thing, okay? My friends, look, we're in a time now where we're losing everything. I shouldn't say that because I'm going to get you hyped up, but we're losing some things that are dear to us. We've already lost some things that are dear to us, right? We want to be in the presence of other people, good friends and family and rest, and we can't be. So even if you just want to say that, okay? And I could say beyond, we could start thinking about it. We're afraid of losing everything. We're afraid of losing everything we know. But what does God want? And I'm not saying that God is willing our destruction. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that God's will be done. He will take the chaos of the world as the raw material by which he brings about what he wants to bring about. He's not necessarily inflicting this on us, but this is a moment for us to go God or nothing. Right? It's Jesus or nothing, because here they will take away both our land and our nation. They'll take away everything, okay? That's what we hear in the scripture. If we feel like we're losing everything, we're wrong. We're simply wrong. Because God's will be done. We have Christ. We have Jesus. We don't need anything else. And this whole story, the story of the world, is Jesus' story. It's not our story. And it's ours to play the part that he wants us to play. So it may feel like we're losing everything. Maybe this is why it's such an important time, such a crucial time, such a good time for us to get properly reoriented to what life is all about. We're not losing everything. We have Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Okay, and then we see, right, as we go forward through the passage, just really this second point of consideration, the prophecy of Caiaphas. Right, it's better for you that one man should die instead of the people, so that the whole nation may not perish. In the end, my friends, the whole nation and the new Israel will be gathered together in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, Caiaphas doesn't mean that when he says it, but that's his prophecy. Jesus will die. Jesus will suffer our death. He will die under the burden of our sin and rebellion against God. And he will do it so that we have life, so that we could be gathered as a nation in him to bring about God's purposes. And what are his purposes, my friends? They're love all the way through. And the love of God comes to encounter us today in Christ Jesus. The love of God encounters us in every small thing that we do today. Every small thing that we're called to apply ourselves to with love. To live out his rule today. To live out his kingdom and build up his kingdom today. And extend his kingdom, the kingdom now of loving service and self-sacrifice, all the way to death, to every corner of his creation.